The following is a presentation of the Retro Network.
15, 64, 50, 80, 90, hey!
Hey, you guys.
Oh, my neck!
And welcome to a very Brady podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Tack. And with me, as always, is the other host of the show, Jimmy Klein.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And on this podcast, we celebrate classic iconic TV shows as we break them down one episode at a time. What we do here, Jimmy, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
We take the episode.
We do.
We break it down.
Yeah, sometimes.
We teach the old dog new tricks. But then when it shows us one, we get offended and leave it to himself. All for you, the listener.
Huh.
On today's episode, we look at Mork and Mindy, Season 3, Episode 5, entitled Mork the Prankster. If you haven't watched the episode, please feel free to stop the podcast and go watch it before continuing. You don't have to, but it might be a hell of a lot more funny if you do. Mork and Mindy is available to stream on
Amazon Prime!
Ooh, so ooh. How was your week?
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
See, I'm not even offended this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there any reason to be or no?
No, just because you're not getting that attitude like you did the past couple weeks. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, none of that tude. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, no, that's good. No, it's been a pretty good week. What about you?
Yeah, same. Just had to work some overtime. Well, I'm going to be doing a lot of overtime all the next 3 weeks at work just because
nice.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I took the bike for a spin yesterday. It's been a while. We've had a lot of rain down here in Florida. It's not like us in the wintertime. Usually this is like the dry season where you got to worry about brush fires and stuff, but
yeah.
Had a lot of rain this year. So actually was able to take the bike out for a little bit. It was pretty fun.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been nice here too. It's actually been getting up into the 60s
as far as
the weather and really nice out. So, yeah.
Yeah, right now it's 77 out. It's probably like perfect. And then like windy or breezy or whatever. So it's perfect.
Cool.
I love this time of year. Weather-wise.
Yeah. All right. So Mork and Mindy. So like, what's your history with that show? Did you ever watch it as a kid or what?
Yeah. It was the same as Alf. One of those things where like, you know, I wouldn't come out of my room just to watch it. But, you know, because it wasn't like Knight Rider or Airwolf or anything like cool like that. But I would watch it if I happened to be in the living room. So it definitely, in my opinion, and I know we're going to disagree on this and that's fine. This did not age well at all.
How so?
He comes across as being super obnoxious. Like, and I don't mean like the character, I mean the actor. Like it didn't come across well at all. So
I see, I knew you would feel that way. And I even wrote a note like halfway through the show about saying how, now I know, Jimmy, you probably think he's obnoxious.
He is very obnoxious.
But I mean, one thing, and I wrote this note later, but I might as well just bring it up now. See, you and I may find him obnoxious. I don't, but I can see how people could. I get it. But you got to remember, he's been this way our whole lives.
Right.
He's only been this way for about 3 years on TV.
Yeah, well, I know.
And so this is like new, is people have never seen this. This is like, oh my God. It's like somebody who had never heard of Robin Williams watching him for the first time going, this guy's crazy. Like, oh my God, he's so animated. He's kind of funny. But when you've been watching this performance for 48 years, you get to the point where you're like, okay, that's enough, you know?
But see, like with this episode, I challenge anybody to turn off their closed caption and tell me word for word what he says in that scene. You can't. You half the time you can't understand a single word that's coming out of his mouth. And then for some reason he gets an applause at the end of it. I'm like, why are you applauding? That was awful. You couldn't understand anything he was saying.
It's just a lot of very quick esoteric jokes, I like to say.
But were they jokes? He did the same Sherry joke 3 times. Like, they're not jokes at that point. It's just him rambling. Like,
and like he was doing the whole like what's her name bit, the whole what's her name, the cook,
Julia Childs.
He was doing the Julia Childs bit, and that kind of went on a little longer than it should have, I think.
Yeah. But I think he's still doing it.
He's still doing it. But he's getting an applause because it's so fast. It's so animated. He's continuing to keep it going. And then he finally, it ends with a big, literally a bang. Like, he literally falls on the ground and hear a big boom. And it's just a funny way to punch an ending. And that always garners an applause if you can end it correctly.
Yeah, but I got a feeling they held up an applause sign. You know what I'm saying?
maybe. You know, but still.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Robin Williams sucked or anything like that. His stand-up was great. But he would do this on late-night talk shows. He'd get on and he would just do this incoherent rambling that you couldn't really understand the jokes or what he was saying. And half the jokes weren't really that funny to begin with. And everybody thought he was some kind of genius.
It's more about his delivery is more than anything. Is I guarantee, like, probably I would guess 65% of people that laugh at his particular joke he just made don't even get the joke.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's more about his delivery. Like, he could say, oh, and then, oh, take me to the bottom, said John Smith. You know, and then everybody's like, oh my God, that is just like John Smith. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. It was the way he said it was funny.
Me and you have talked about with stand-up, we've talked about punchline indicators. How punchline indicators are, it's BS, it's bullshit, right?
Yeah, Ron White's big on that,
And that's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. He knows when he makes that funny voice that everybody's going to get to the point where they're supposed to laugh. So people are laughing and they don't really know what the fuck they're laughing at. Like,
you know, it's kind of funny. Like, this reminds me of a Family Guy episode. There's a Family Guy episode where Peter loves Robin Williams.
You said Peter.
He loves Robin Williams, and he actually got somehow Robin Williams to appear in front of him or something like that. And he was just like, oh, Peter Griffin, oh, 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 and doing all these like really quick jokes. And he was like, oh my God, you're so funny, Robin Williams. Oh my God. He just sings so fast and yet it's so funny, you know. But then like something happened to where like it cloned another Robin Williams doing the same thing. Oh, oh, Peter, oh, oh. And then it got to the point where there was like 1,000 Robin Williams all at once. And he was like, oh my God, I can't take any more Robin Williams. He was literally like running from these Robin Williams that are chasing him down. Oh, 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 Peter. Oh, oh, oh. It was just so funny.
But yeah, again, I can't say that I don't hate Robin Williams at all. I just think this stuff is not very funny. I don't think it's done very well. And I'm surprised that the producers let it happen. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, I never really watched the show much as a kid either. I remember seeing episodes here and there. I couldn't tell you an episode. I remember the show. I even had like the action figure, like, Mork action figure that came in like the egg and everything. That'd be a cool thing to find again. I haven't seen one of those in so long. I thought Pam Dauber was really good though.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, it seems like her character is pretty thought out, which I don't know what her background is in acting, but you know.
Yeah, I thought she did. I thought she was a good straight man to his crazy. She was a good reactor. She also didn't go over the top either. She was very calm.
The rest of the episode, and I watched this as a kid, and it is funny, and he is funny in it, but I'm just talking specifically about these rambling episodes that he does. You know, he'll go on this, you know, minute-long tangent with incoherent rambling and silly voices, and say, okay, you're bringing the whole momentum of the show down now. You're just...
It's kind of funny, because, like, you helped me out writing the synopsis, right? Mm-hmm. And so I finally get around to catching up and watching the episode and start working on the synopsis. And when I saw that scene of him going off on Julia Childs, I was like, thank God I did not have to write that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then I thought for sure you were just going to say, and then he just does incoherent rambling for 4 minutes.
Now, that's the way you would have done it. Because I'm like, in episodes, I've described dance moves, and you're like, I would have just said they danced. You didn't have to describe the dance moves. Like, I think it was the Brady variety show. I'm like describing what they're doing. You're like, I wouldn't have done that.
They dressed as clowns, jumped in a pool, and then Greg looked at the camera, freeze frame.
Yeah.
There you go. That's that whole scene.
That takes talent, though. I mean, no joke. Like, all bullshit aside, it takes talent to go underwater and act like there's a camera on you. That's talent in and of itself.
We're talking about Barry Williams. Barry Williams acts like he has a camera on all the time.
I mean, it's one thing to be able to wave at a camera and make faces like above water, but to be able to do that underwater, come on. Well, you can't tell me that's not talent.
That's true. I don't think I could do that.
No. Man, we're just, I feel like I'm being a dick this episode.
No, you're redeeming yourself, you know, because you admitted twice now that you don't hate or dislike Robin Williams. So
now, if he could just like play the character of Mork and not go off on these ridiculous rambles, the show would have been, it probably would have lasted more than four seasons. But
well, he only did the one, I think, in this episode, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
You watched the episode, right?
Yeah, I thought you okay. meant just this one in this single episode. I was like, I don't know. If, I'm assuming there's one every episode. I have no idea.
Right. All right. Well, in Robin Williams fashion, that's all for today. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to crack this egg open.
Oh, man.
And really get into this. Okay. All right. We'll be back. Okay.
Hey Gen Xers, get the news and podcasts that matter to you on Rediscover the 80s. Each week, hosts Jason and Wyatt deliver two shows that will connect you with the past. First, listen to the 80s weekly newscast with retro pop culture headlines from the world of movies.
They are actually trying to reboot The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson.
Streaming.
Transformers Earth Spark. What did you think, man?
It looked interesting, but it looks like it's another spin-off of the Rescue Bots.
Collectibles and more.
They made Tina Turner into a Barbie.
Then listen to Memory Jogger, featuring memories from the 80s and early 90s.
We're going to spin the old randomizer tonight. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's spin it.
Ooh, a big one.
Transformers and GoBots. Star Wars.
Ooh, we might be here a while.
Robin Ooh. Williams. What a tribute.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Ooh.
Oh, grandparents. Michael J. Fox.
PSA commercials.
PSA commercials. Ooh, okay.
Listen to both shows now on Rediscover the 80s. Search now in popular listening apps or stream from your browser at rediscoverthe80s.com. The 80s Weekly and Memory Jogger. Two shows that will help you rediscover the 80s.
And we are back.
Oh, man. That was a lot of incoherent rambling you did on break.
ooh, Jimmy. Ooh.
I didn't get an applause. Why not?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Mork and Mindy, Season 3, Episode 5, entitled Mork the Prankster. Well, let's get into it. Facts about the episode. First aired on December 4th, 1980.
Damn. I was in kindergarten.
Written by Gary Marshall, Dale McCraven, Joe Globberg, Wendy Kaut, and George Zatesio.
Okay.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 writers. Directed by Jeff Chambers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he direct, though? I mean, at least that one scene. He didn't really. I'm sorry.
We're actually gonna get into that. So.
Okay.
According to IMDb, Mork says no one would believe an actor could become president. This episode aired shortly after Ronald Reagan was elected to his first term as president of the United States on November 4th, 1980. That was only 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
So, I mean, so that was unrelated?
No, it was related. It was referenced too. Okay. Yeah. That's just a fast turnaround, you know?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The song that Mork claimed the birds were singing when he woke Mindy up was Blackbird by the Beatles. Mork singing the song was edited out of the DVD release due to licensing issues. And it wasn't in our episode either. So.
No, it wasn't. Huh.
That's all that IMDb had, so I had to go somewhere else. So I went to, according to mentalfloss.com.
Okay.
You probably heard that Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of an alien character in Happy Days, and that's true. But the Happy Days character was inspired by an episode of Dick Van Dyke's show called It May Look Like a Walnut.
Exactly, yeah.
We know that episode. When Dick Van Dyke director Jerry Paris was later hired to direct some Happy Days episodes, producer Gary Marshall mentioned that his Star Wars-obsessed son wanted to see a spaceman on TV. Paris remembered the success of Walnut and Mork's extraterrestrial encounter with the Cunninghams was created. The episode My Favorite Orkin was such a big hit, Mork and Mindy was created.
Wow.
Yeah. Others considered for the role of Mork were Dom DeLuise and Roger Reese. After these two actors bowed out, they held auditions for the role. Robin Williams was recommended by his sister Penny, as they were both taking an acting class together. When Williams came into audition, he was asked to take a seat, and Williams stood on his head in the chair. This pleased Gary Marshall so much that he knew immediately that he was perfect for the role. Plus, according to Gary, he said, and I quote, he was the only alien that auditioned for the part.
Wow. Okay.
So here's what you were talking about. So contrary to what was reported, Robin Williams did not ad-lib the entire role. During the height of the show's popularity, there were rumors and even articles saying that the role of Mork was largely unscripted. As you might imagine, the writers didn't take too kindly to that. They would argue, quote, we were up until 4 in the morning writing Robin's, quote, ad-libs.
Okay.
So... yeah, huh. So all that stuff in Julia Childs and in one of these first early scenes, probably all scripted.
And they took credit for that? That's
So, Jimmy, are you ready to fade in?
I am ready to fade in.
All right. We fade in. Scene one. We open to see Mindy and two of her friends in the living room having just worked out. Her friend Glenda says, oh, you two would just love my new place. Of course, it's not decorated yet. Not like yours, Mindy, with all its special little touches. Mindy's friend Jean says, you know, it's really a home. Mindy, hearing the compliment, says, oh, thanks. Jean follows up saying, it's always really comfortable to hear. Glenda asks, Mindy, will you help me make my place a home? Mindy, a little nervous at the idea, says, well, sure, but I'm not a professional or anything. Glenda says, oh, that's okay. We'll keep it real sweet and simple. Besides, I can only spend $10,000. Jean, not sure she heard that correctly, clarifies, dollars? $10,000? Like the kind you get at a bank? Glenda, not catching the sarcasm, taps her with her finger while saying, and not a penny more. I promised myself. Oh, why don't we start making a list? Mindy, would you please get the pen and pencil from my purse? Mindy stands saying, sure. Mindy opens the purse and out jumps. A bunch of snakes! Can't believe you scream. You have a bunch of snakes.
Oh, yeah, I do, don't I? Yeah, never mind.
Why don't you scream?
But they don't jump. Well, yeah, not usually.
Wouldn't that be weird if they did? If you just saw them just sort of jump.
So it was like Tigger's tail, like doing, doing.
Glenda, laughing her ass off, says, gotcha. Gina, apparently has never seen this before, says, Glenda, you are just too funny. I'm going to start laughing when my heart gets started. Glenda stuffs her snakes back into her purse. Hell yeah, she did. While explaining, you know, one of the guys in my building gave this to me. He was like, hey. He was all like, hey, I got a big snake for you. It may scare you, but you'll really like it. Want to see it? He's a regular riot. Mindy then gets an idea and asks, hey, can I borrow that? I kind of like to show it to Mork. Glenda says, oh, sure. He'll probably love it. Jean says, then I'm taking the other one for Remo. I'm starving. Let's go down to the restaurant and I'll talk him into making his breakfast, you know, in workout clothes. Mindy, sounding disappointed, stands and says, oh, you guys go. Mork's making me a special breakfast this morning. I just hope this time it doesn't jump off the plate. Glinda then gets an idea and says, Jeannie, after breakfast, how about we go back to my building? We can catch the tail end of limbo lessons. After Glinda leaves, Jean Sarkowski looks at Mindy as they both say, oh, wow. And then she leaves.
Yeah, that's the longest credits ever for a show with just two people on it.
Yeah.
Why'd they have to be so long?
And I thought like the theme song was weird. Like it didn't seem like it fit and it was it wasn't catchy. It wasn't like nothing.
I thought one detail I thought was really neat was in the establishing shot, they show the entire building, which looks like just an old house that they made into apartments. But in the upper right-hand side of the house, you see three really distinct stained glass windows, like a pattern of three. Mm-hmm. But then when they go inside the set, those same stained glass windows are on the set.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of neat. Would a person of her friends, like if she's spending 10 grand to do her apartment, right? And she's talking about these, you know, these guys in her apartment building that had big snakes and stuff. Like, would she really care about pulling a prank with having like snakes jumped out of her purse? Like, that doesn't seem like her character. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I don't really know her character. This is like the only time I've seen it.
Well, she seems kind of like one of those uppity, snobby kind of rich girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be like in, you know, Clueless. Like her giving her purse to a friend and a bunch of snakes jump out. Like, that's not her. That's not that character. Like,
yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. But yeah, I wish I knew more backstory on these women. Like, are they regulars? Are they always on the show? I didn't know. I had no idea. So
I have no idea. But they look like they were out of the cast of like Chorus Line or something. I kept expecting them to sing, I Hope I Get It. But anyways, that's an obscure reference. All right.
I hope scene I get it. Two. I really hope I get it.
Scene two. After they leave, Mindy positions the purse carefully on the counter to look natural. She then yells up the stairs, gosh, am I hungry? She then mumbles for that Duke.
Yeah. No, she didn't.
Mork yells down, if you are Mind, then get ready for Tarzan in the crepes.
Oh.
Mork then swings down on a rope, making a Tarzan sound. Now, to clarify, Mork was the one making the Tarzan sound, not the rope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the way that's said, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Wearing a flowery apron, he frolics into the kitchen, and with a high-pitched Julia Child's voice, he says, Today, we're going to fix something very special.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, what? That's not how he says it.
No, he says, but no, and our listeners can't understand that. So.
Yeah, he says, today we're going to fix something special. Yeah, that's how he, you know, you got to perform, Jimmy.
Go ahead.
No, it's not my scene. I can't. If I do that, then the listeners would be like, wait a second. You guys aren't doing it right. And I don't want to make them mad.
I'm like a translator. Yeah. I'm making it so that they can actually understand what's being said in the scene as opposed to the way he did it, where it's just, if you don't have subtitles, then you're screwed.
So, okay.
So anyways, in a Julia Child, just pretend like I'm Julia Child. Today, we're going to fix something very special. We're going to make Hughes Cosmos. Is that it? Okay. Here we go. First, let's start by putting a few pinto beans as a base. Pinto from the Spanish word meaning small car. Mm-hmm. Now, what we should do is add a little sherry. He adds some to the pot and then takes a drink and says, oh, what a lovely shade of blur. Now we have our main ingredient. We must do this first of all. Bring out your chicken. Oh, look, this chicken is so young. It never known love.
Aww.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
So sad.
He then drops the chicken onto the counter and begins trying to do CPR on it, saying, oh, breathe, breathe, breathe. He then pulls out an egg from inside the chicken and yells, oh, it's a boy. Here we go. Apparently chickens lay eggs through their neck hole. That's kind of okay. Now we must dress our chicken. First, you put your chicken in a lovely two-piece outfit. Adopt it now just like Esther Williams. What's interesting is I worked with somebody named Esther Williams.
Oh.
Yeah, I did her son's wedding. It's weird. Anyways. Then with an ooh, he drops it into the pot. He then picks up the egg and yells, and this one too, whoop. And once again, a little more sherry and sherry alike. He then takes another drink of it and says, and a little for the cook. You know, you never know when you're followed home by a wino. Now for some garnish. For everyone here, first we add a little flour. He then, and I thought this was a bag of flour, but I think it's just a big clump of cauliflower.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He then drops an entire head of cauliflower into the pot, then goes back into it saying, once again, a little more sherry and some grated cheese. He then gives the cheese a dirty look and says, oh, you grate on me. Great, great, great. Little cheese in there. This I don't know why you're not laughing. This is hilarious. I mean, this gets an applause. And once again, a little more sherry. He then takes another drink of it, saying a little more. After giggling like a maniac, he says, oh, what a lovely day. Hold on one second here. He runs over and gets something else, drops it on the counter and says, over here, once again, a little more sherry, a little more sherry, 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 a little salt, a little pepper. Remember, you can put anything in there. That's what your mom said. Give it enough time. He now has a huge pile of things in the pot and he's trying to get the lid on, saying, use your trash compactor if necessary. Finishing up once again, you stir it up and one little more touch of sherry. He then takes another drink.
Oh, here's a fucking surprise.
He then goes on. Wow. Bon appetit, my dear. Bon appetit. He then falls to the ground and gets an applause for this incoherent rambling for some reason.
Yeah. I thought I was like, well, I'm on the show, Robin Williams. I was like, is this where Jimmy go? Robin Williams is right here on my podcast.
You know, sometimes you just have to take it seriously. Sometimes you just have to dive in with both feet.
Minnie was watching his long performance and didn't seem too amused.
She did. It looked like at first she was trying to keep up, and after a while she's just like, yeah, fuck this. Like, I don't get paid enough for this. He gets paid like three times the salary. He needs to make me laugh.
I feel like she was thinking, is this really my breakfast that he was talking about? Like, yeah. Are you really wasting groceries for this joke? Like, mm-hmm. What's going on?
She's like, if I could understand the words he's saying, I would probably laugh. But,
Scene 3. Mm. After collapsing to the floor, Mork stands up and says, yes, Mind, come on, give it a try. Throw caution to the wind, Mind. Mindy, trying to make an excuse, says, I think that I'm on a diet. But I got a little surprise. It's in my purse. Mork points at himself and asks, for me? Mindy, acting much like I do when I try to scare someone excitedly, says, yeah. Mork says, oh, Mind, I love surprises more than I like freeze-dried pants. Really?
I don't know.
Can I for me? At this point, Mindy is giggling like I do before I'm about to scare someone.
That's true. You do be doing that.
Mork opens up the purse, completely ignoring the snakes, and says, there's nothing in here, Mind. Mindy, not disappointed, says, Mork, it's a snake. It's supposed to jump out and scare you. Mork, seeing the prank, gets excited and says, oh, I get it. Mork then picks up the snake and screams and begins to chant in another language. While chanting in another language, he has the snake crawl up his arm and bite him and attack his neck. Mindy, getting frustrated it didn't startle him, says, no, Mork, it's a practical joke. It's a prank. People play them on one another. It's supposed to be funny. Mork, starting to realize he made her feel bad, says, I understand that, man. I'm a superior being. It's a very simple concept. Snakes bring fear. He then picks up the snake and a high-pitched voice says, let's add that to the dish. Before he can step into the pot, Mindy, now completely frustrated, says, never mind. It was a dumb joke anyway. Mork, trying to make her feel better, says, I wasn't trying to say that, Mind. Mindy says, well, listen, while you're doing whatever it is you're doing, I'm going to run to the store real quick and get some decorator magazines. Have you seen my car keys? Mork answers, saying, Sure, many times. Minnie, trying to be patient with him, takes a breath and asks, do you know where they might be? Mork thinks and says, well, I'll take a wild guess. Number one, in the purse. But don't worry, men, don't worry. Allow moi, pardon moi. Trying to make up for what he did, he looks at her purse and plays along, saying, oh no, a purse. Oh, it's a purse. Oh. He then dumps everything out of the Minnie's purse and dies while shrieking in fear. Ah! He continues the charade, saying, oh, my heart. My heart, mend. He then says, you take the house, before pretending to die on the couch.
Wow, okay. I've done that joke before at work. You know, like my boss's Which name one? Is Kevin, right? And somebody come up, hey, have you seen Kevin? Yeah, tall, about 6'3", kind of skinny.
Oh, yeah.
Wears a smock, says Kevin. Yeah, I've done that joke a bunch of times. But also, that's the kind of reflexes I have. I don't have very many reflexes at all. Like it's hard to scare me just because that's why I sucked in sports so bad, because I didn't have the reflexes. Like, you don't know how many times in PE class I've been hitting the chest with a basketball just because I don't think to catch it. So I totally get him not jumping at the snakes and be like, there's nothing in here. So I can relate to that. Scene 4. Next we see Mork with 3 children in his living room saying, well, this is my place. One kid says, wow, neat. The other asks, where's the refrigerator? Oh, I see it. And off she runs. Mork sarcastically says, well, if the rest of the children don't want to eat, let's all sit here for a moment and share a problem with Uncle Mork here. Once sitting on the couch, Mork says, well, the basic problem is that I have a heavy case of confusion. One little girl puts her arm around Mork and says, let us be your beacon through the fog. Mork grabs her hand and says, thanks, Lola. The girl digging in the fridge asks, hey, what's wrong with this refrigerator? I can't see a thing in here. Mork says, I took the bulb out, Stephanie. I knew you were coming.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Lay off me. I'm starving.
Shit.
The girl then pulls out a lemon saying, go suck a lemon.
Oh, shit. No, she
Damn.
Didn't.
They let a kid say that? That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Mork, getting tired of the little freeloader, says, you know, Stephanie, there's free food down at the Jack in the Box if you stand next to the clown. No idea what that means. Mork then turns his attention back to his problem. Well, basically, my problem is that, well, I want to play a practical joke on Mindy, and I don't really know any. Corey Feldman says, I know what. Wait, Corey Feldman. What the fuck? Why is Corey Feldman sitting there?
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Anyways, he says, I went to Jake's joke shop. That's fun to say. And bought a bar of Trick soap. When my brother washed with it, his hands grew black. Mork says, oh, that sure beats bussing, doesn't it? I don't know what that means. Bussing?
I don't know.
Okay. It's just, I'm in a desperate situation. Is there anything else you know? Corey says, more. There's tons of them. For instance, when I'm around 50 years old, I'm going to attempt to go to get my singing career back off the ground again and put on a very, very low budget performance, complete with me banging my face into the microphone and only use mid-level musicians. You know, even though I have millions of dollars somehow. But that's way later. That's after season 4. For now, there's itching powder, sneezing powder, pepper gum, fly in your ice cube. Mork then gets an idea and exclaims, ooh, oh, Great Expectations. I'm going to scare the dickens out of Mindy. Lola exclaims, Great Expectations? Dickens? You know, big fella, you're a lot deeper than you look. Mork simply says, bless you, Lola. I didn't even hear her sneeze. He then turns towards the kitchen and asks, have you cleaned the refrigerator out yet, Stephanie? Stephanie just rolls her eyes.
Yeah, first of all, I forgot about Corey Feldman smacking himself in the mic. You know, he did that like twice.
He did what?
Smacked himself in the face.
Oh, I thought you meant Mork and Mindy.
No. He knocked a tooth out of him twice.
What an idiot.
Just from stepping close to a microphone. I don't think I've ever hit myself with a microphone.
So anyway. He doesn't use a pop filter as a pop filter. He uses it so he doesn't crack a tooth. He's
pop. Anyway, who the fuck are these children? Did he kidnap them? Are they missing? Like, I'm so confused.
He doesn't drive a van, so. And I didn't see candy in his pockets. So.
But fat jokes to the fat kid, I love it.
Yeah, that's, I had that too. Like, fat jokes on a little girl. Yeah, that's okay. I didn't recognize Corey Feldman not dressed up like a Wish version of Michael Jackson.
Scene 5. Later, Mork is prepping for his big practical joke for Mindy. He opens a closet door and hanging in there is a fake skeleton. Mork says, "Shh, don't spoil it, Dr. Atkins. Now come on." He places a bag in the closet and says to the skeleton, "Boy, did that diet work." He then shuts the closet door just in time as Mindy walks to the front door. Mindy says, "Hi, how was your day?" Mork says, "Oh," and then giggles and says, "Not bad," like a sheep for some reason. Mindy, seeing that he's up to something, asks, "Why are you looking at me like that?" Mork says, "I don't know, Mind. I guess I'm just kind of mildly mischievous kind of guy." Mork then giggles and suggests, "Why don't you put your coat in the armoire? You never know what might be in there. Maybe a skeleton or a hokey pokey man." He then giggles again. Mindy, not understanding his rambling, asks, "What?" Mark goes on, "Or maybe you have a bone to pick." Mindy says, "I'm going in the closet." And she heads to the closet. Mark says, "Oh, no. And then laughs it out. No, all right. Mindy whips the closet door open and gasps. She turns to Mark and says, "Now that's funny." Mark just laughs. Mork then says, "Well, seeing that, Mind, don't you want to just fatten up? Let's go to the fridge." Mork then takes her by the hand and runs over to the fridge, giggling the whole way. Once they arrive at the fridge, Mork says, wait. "I hope this doesn't alarm you, but there might be some bell peppers in there." Tittle, tittle, chortle, chortle, whatever that means.
No idea.
Five writers. Whatever. Mindy, going along with his joke, says, "Oh, bell peppers." She then opens the fridge door and a loud alarm bells out. She quickly shuts the fridge and says, "Oh, Mark, I'll tell you, you're a clever guy." Mindy then puts her arm around him and says, "Listen, Mark, we need to have a little talk.
Uh-oh.
Look, for a practical joke to work, you're not supposed to know what's going to happen. The surprise is what makes it funny." Mork, taking this in, says, "You're kidding."
Boy, Mork really likes rainbow stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
His shirt's rainbow. His suspenders are rainbow. His jacket's rainbow. Well, his life preserver. Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory in this scene. Just like as if like Sheldon was taught about practical jokes for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
This is kind of like Sheldon
does kind of act like an alien sometimes. So,
yeah.
I could see that. Scene 6. Later, Mork is in the living room with Frank and Fred. Okay. They both are dressed head to toe as if they're going on a fishing trip. Mork says, "Since you're going fishing, come on in. Maybe you need some worms for your fishing trip." Mork walks the two men into the living room next to the coffee table. Fred asks, "Worms?" Mork, while pointing to the inside of the coffee table, says, "Yeah, they might be in there. I had a few, I don't know." Fred asks, "Worms in there?" Mork says, "Yeah, give it a shot." Fred says, "Yeah, all right." He opens the coffee table and dozens of fake snakes jump out everywhere. Mork then giggles his motherfucking ass off. Mork picks up one and says, "Industrial strength worms. This way you can catch the big suckers." Fred says, "Mork, that was pretty good prank." It was a prank, wasn't it? Mork says, "I hope." Frank says, "Pretty good, my boy, pretty good. But it pales in comparison with some of the exploits of Pranky Frankie here." Frank proudly puffs his chest out. Fred asks, "Pranky Frankie? I'm being dressed by Pranky Frankie?" Frankie says, You've heard of the old car in the living room stunt? Fred says, no. That was kind of funny if you didn't. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mork says, oh, yeah. Yeah. Who hasn't heard of it? Mork then quickly raises his own hand and adds, I haven't heard of it. Frank says, Mork, it's when you take a car apart and put it back together in somebody's living room. When I was in college, we did it to Professor Franklin's 51 Studebaker. Mork says, oh, heavy. Frank says, yeah, but well worth the hernia. That prank made me what I am today. A legend.
Oh, shit.
Mork says to himself as he thinks, a legend or tornado in the windmill of my mind. Hang on, Toto, hang on. As they head to the door, Fred says, well, maybe I don't look so bad in this outfit. I don't know. Nobody's going to see me but the fish. And who are they going to tell except a few waterlogged gangsters? Frank says, that's the spirit, Fred. Those fish don't have a chance. After Fred leaves, Frank turns to Mork and says, he really does look pretty funny in that outfit, doesn't he? He then just laughs and leaves the apartment. Once alone, Mork says to himself, ah, a chance to become a living legend. I'll be up there on Mount Rushmore. I'll be up there with Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, all those other wide receivers.
So it was kind of nice to see Tom Poston again. Just because I loved him on Newhart. He was so funny on Newhart. That was kind of a racy joke, I think, with the talking about the wide receivers. The
How's very that last a joke. Racy joke?
Well, because like, you know, he's referring to the presidents, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, right? But then he's also referencing to like black NFL players with also the same last names.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I don't
know what I mean. Because, you know, most people with last names, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, are all black. Pretty much, and that pretty much stems back to, you know, slave times, you know.
I don't know. I think maybe you're, I think you're looking into it too deep. I think the joke is that he didn't know they were presidents. He thought they were wide receivers. That's how I took it.
Well, I can see why he would think that because they're usually named Washington.
Like, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Roosevelt. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about being racist or anything, but.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the other one, the few waterlogged gangsters. Like, that's implying that like gangsters are being thrown in the water that they're fishing in, like dead gangsters. Like,
oh, I get that.
I thought that's what you're talking about. I was like, yeah, that's wow. Okay. Why would he be dressed up with his pole and his picnic basket just to run up to Mork's apartment?
Who are we talking about? Now we know that Frank lives downstairs.
Oh, he does. Oh yeah. But the other guy.
Yeah, I don't know where the other guy.
He
probably.
But he doesn't live downstairs, I don't think. But he has a picnic basket over his shoulder and a fishing pole in his hand. Like, why did you bring all that shit up to the apartment if you're just going to turn around and go back to your car?
Yeah, even if he was just downstairs in Frank's apartment, he wouldn't say, "Hey, let's go up and see Mork." But you grab your pole and the picnic basket.
Yeah, because I doubt it has an elevator. It's probably just stairs.
Yeah. That's weird.
I don't know. Mork knows who these people are, like the presidents and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it was impressive enough that he knew Mount Rushmore, but to be able to name all four people on Mount Rushmore, but he doesn't know what a practical joke is. That seems kind of weird.
I feel like he says he's a superior being. I feel like he just learned facts and not so much like social stuff. Scene a savant. Later that night, we see Mork in the living room with Mindy's Jeep parked right next to the kitchen bar.
Oh, damn.
Mork says, this is going to make Mindy love us forever, Bebo. Bebo says, whatever. As Mork walks around the Jeep, he says, oh, boy, I can't wait till she sees this. Mork then knocks on Mindy's door and says, Mind, wake up. It's morning. Can't you hear the little birdies singing outside? Mindy then walks out of her room in a daze and says, Mork, it is 5 o'clock in the morning. On her way to the kitchen, she stops at her Jeep and looks at herself in the side mirror. She then pushes the mirror away and then stops. She turns around and finally notices her Jeep is in the living room.
Oh.
She exclaims, Mork, why would you? She stops herself and then asks, when did you get this thing up here? Mork says, Min, take your time now. I know these type of compliments just don't just fall trippingly off the tongue. Mindy says, Mork, get this Jeep out of here now. Mork says, oh, yes. And Mindy says, and get this Jeep out of here now. She slams on the Jeep for emphasis, but the Jeep then crashes through the floor and lands in Frank's apartment below. Mork and Mindy both take a look through the hole that is now in their floor, and Mindy says, morning, Mr. Bickley.
Yeah, that's it. That's a different Jeep than it's in the opening credits. Because the opening credits had a different color Jeep, and it had a dent in the rear fender behind the driver's seat. This one is a dark blue or black one, and it has no dent in the back. So either Mindy got a new Jeep, or that's some bullshit. Just saying. Either or that, or Mork stole somebody else's Jeep. Maybe that's why she's saying, get this Jeep out of here, not get my Jeep out of here. Just saying. I wonder how they lowered it, because it sinks down into the floor a little bit before it falls. I wonder how they did that.
They probably had it raised in a small platform, like maybe a foot or two off the ground, maybe.
Yeah, if that was some kind of matte painting or something they used, that would look pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was it was a tough special effect to do, but I think they pulled it off for the time period.
Yeah.
And from what I'm guessing is it looked more like they were looking through a window, not so much a hole in the floor when they're like overlooking, you know. So it looked like it was more like a matte painting on a wall pushed back. You know what I mean?
It's kind of, they could have easily just had a platform raised up in the air and had them lay on the platform and just replicate the set down below. They could have easily done it, but
maybe. But it's so funny because right before it fell and I saw it in the living room, I was literally thinking, can that floor support that Jeep? Because I was going to write that as a joke, and they're like, oh, I wonder if that floor can even support the weight of a Jeep. You know? And I guess the answer is it cannot. So
Okay. Well, now you know, in case you try to put a Jeep in your apartment.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
All right. So this is where we take our next break.
Oh, damn.
So Mork has just pulled a prank on Mindy. He has managed to pull the old car in the living room gag, but this time it backfires on him and crashes into the apartment below. Will they fix the floor? Will Mindy think it's hilarious? Did Frank get crushed to death? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll be back.
That's a cliffhanger.
Hey, movie fans! Have you ever wanted just one more adventure from your favorite film heroes? Ever imagined an alternate entry in your favorite movie franchise that didn't suck? Then Sequel Quest is the podcast to make your wildest cinematic fantasies come true. Every episode, Adam, Jeff, and Jeremy pitch imaginary sequels, prequels, and reboots to your favorite movie franchises like E.T. the Extraterrestrial, cult classics like Surf Ninjas and the Monster Squad, famous flops like Jupiter Ascending, how about a third Tim Burton Batman film, or getting back on the ice with the Mighty Ducks? With over 100 episodes in our archives, you'll definitely find a favorite as the SQ crew reminisce about the films and find creative, cool, and wacky ways to continue the fun on the silver screen. Sequel Quest is presented by the Retro Network and can be found on any of your favorite podcast apps. Just search Sequel Quest and prepare yourselves for fake movie fun at its finest.
And we are back.
Ooh, doggy.
Ooh, doggy.
That was a good break. That was a good break. I mean, it was. I can understand a couple of words you were saying, but it's not. You still haven't convinced me that was funny. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I wasn't trying to be funny. I have a beard, Jimmy. That's the serious Robin Williams.
Oh, that was your chin?
So, in this episode, they pull the old car in the living room prank. Have you heard of this prank before?
I haven't heard of it as a prank, but I did hear about this guy over in Europe that he decided that he was going to buy all the parts to make a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, one of those exotic cars. And he started assembling this thing in his basement. And it went way further than he thought. And he got to the point where he actually fully assembled this car in his basement. But it was in his basement. So he couldn't get it out once it was built. So he actually had to remove an entire wall off of his house to be able to lift up the car and put it through so that he could actually drive it outside.
Yeah, that's not smart. Now, I've only heard of this, Frank, just from movies and stuff, because it's been in a couple of movies that I've seen. One of them being School Ties is a movie. It's got Brendan Fraser in it and a lot of other people. And they did that to one of their school professors or whatever. They put his like old hot rod in his room or whatever. And I want to say it was also in that movie. I could be wrong. And our listeners probably going to let me know. But I feel like it was also in that movie, Real Genius.
Oh, I don't know. That's with Val Kilmer? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it was in that movie, too. I mean, I know they filled like a house with popcorn in that movie. But not that. I don't know. I didn't really think it was a thing until this. And then they bring it up here. And this precedes both of those. So I was like, oh.
Maybe this was the start of it.
I don't know. Is this like a thing that people ever actually did? Like, how long could you... How long would that take to take a car completely apart?
Well, I found myself wondering that, too. Like, how did Mork pull this off by himself? But then, you know, spoiler alert, towards the end of it, we realized that Mork, I guess, is way stronger than normal people.
Right.
So it probably wouldn't have been that hard. And I've often thought about this, too. Like, tell me what you think. Superman, right?
Yep.
When Superman works on his car, does he use wrenches or tools or anything?
Probably not.
Because he should be able to just unscrew it with his finger, right?
Yeah.
And then he could use his X-ray vision to actually see what's wrong with the car. So he would be like one of the best mechanics out there. Like, there can't be any money in being Superman.
Meaning like he doesn't get paid by like the city or the state or anything. The government doesn't give him like some sort of...
That's something they never touch on in movies. Like Captain America didn't get paid. Well, I guess he did because he was in the military, but...
Well, that's why Clark Kent, I don't know if you know this, but Clark Kent, spoiler alert, is Superman. I know it's hard to tell.
No. I'm talking Superman like the superhero.
Okay, well, he's really good friends with Clark Kent, you know, who works at the Daily Planet. So that's his full-time job. And they're good. He gives him money.
Yeah, that's just two side characters in Superman, though. I mean, that's nothing to do with Superman himself.
just trying to think of that.
Yeah.
But speaking of superheroes, I thought of this a lot, too. So, like, you've seen the Hulk, right? And the Hulk can, like, rip a car apart with, like, his bare hands, like, let's say, right? Can you imagine being the Hulk and living in a world that you can do that? Imagine everything around you being made of tinfoil.
That's true, yeah. That's a good point.
How would you open a door without ripping it off?
Well, like Superman's the same way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like how would you have a seat on a park bench or...
Or Thor. Thor and Captain America have the same problem.
I guess. I feel like they'd be able to control their strength a little bit more. I don't know. But I don't know. Just be like living in a world made of tinfoil and just be impossible to like... Like, I can't even touch anything. Like, I'm just going to break it. Like, it's just stupid.
So, if Bruce Banner or any other superheroes listening, write us in and let us know how you do that. Like if you have a girlfriend, how do you not kill her? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like with Superman, like, you know, not to be too gross, but like when they hump, how is that not like a shotgun going off? You know what I mean? Like,
How come you can shoot a gun at Superman and he just stands there and the bullets bounce off? But if you throw the gun at him, he ducks.
That's like I was thinking about that one time. I was like, if you walk into a bank with a gun and point it at the bank teller, they just freeze and they just stare at you, right? But if you pull out a rubber band and act like you're going to hit them with it, then they start flinching and stuff. And I always thought it'd be funny in a movie if people's reaction to guns were the same as a reaction from a rubber band. So like if somebody, this is a freeze. This is a sticker. And you're like doing that thing. That would just be funny. I don't know.
Like stop.
You're going to stop. It's going to stink. Stop. It's going to pull my hair. I don't know. It's been funny. So out of all the, because I just think it's kind of ironic that last week we covered Alf and then this week it's another alien. As far as I can remember, those are the only two TV aliens, correct? Because Small Wonder, she wasn't an alien. She was a robot, right?
Oh, no. No, there's many more. In fact, good segue, Jimmy. on the After Hours show tonight, I'm going to go through a whole list.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, if I went down the rabbit hole again of, you know, what this broke off from, what it, because I was hoping to find like a common to not like, like some kind of new show or whatever, but all it was pretty much Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. So,
yeah.
Because I was trying to find like, is it possible that, you know, they could have known Alf or whatever? Alf, like, does Mork know E.T. or anything? Like, I don't know.
Interesting.
Man.
Well, E.T. is part of the Star Wars universe.
That's true.
So,
And I want to say R2-D2 has been seen in Star Trek. So.
I know he's been seen in Indiana Jones.
Well, also there's in the new Star Trek with J.J. Abrams, there was an explosion where they show up where all the ships were and all the ships are exploded. And if you slow it down at a certain point, you see R2-D2 floating through space.
Oh, that's right.
Just saying.
I do remember hearing something about that, yeah.
So that means that Star Trek and Star Wars are in this. And I hate when people say, oh, I don't like Star Trek. I watch Star Wars. It's not a comparison by any stretch of the imagination. No. That's like saying cornbread instead of white bread. No, that's not the same thing. They're not the same at all. Like,
right.
Yeah. My wife used to be like that. I'm like, you've never seen Star Trek, have you? She's like, no. I like Star Wars. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. So once she watched Next Generation, she's like, okay, yeah, you're right. That's totally different. I'm like, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
One's science fiction and one's fantasy. I just like saying that because I know it irritates you.
That doesn't irritate me.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I agree with you. All right. So you ready to get back into this?
I am ready to get back into this.
All right. So when we left off, Mindy has trained Mork all about pranks. So in an effort to prank Mindy back, Mork puts her Jeep in the upstairs apartment. Well, the Jeep has now fallen through the floor and crashed down below into Frank's apartment below downstairs. Let's get back into it.
Scene 8. Downstairs in Frank's apartment, Mork and Mindy stand with Frank. Mindy asks, are you sure you're all right, Mr. Binkley? Frank says, just a second before, I was sitting in that chair. We see the recliner is now crushed under the Jeep. Frank goes on. I got up to fill my thermos with coffee. I owe my life to Joe DiMaggio. Mork says, well, don't worry about that hole, Mr. Binkley. I'll spackle it up. Mindy says, don't worry. I think my insurance should cover this. I'll just have to check on a technicality. She then turns to Mork and adds, if my apartment is covered for collision, Mork, now feeling bad, says, well, apart from the obvious physical and emotional trauma, is there a latent appreciation for what I've achieved here? Mindy and Frank both scowl at Mork. Mork takes the hint and says, I see. Frank, not wanting to hang around much longer, says, well, excuse me, I'm going fishing. I'm going to get out of here. I don't know what I'm going to tell my maid. As he begins to cry, he adds, she won't even do windows. Frank then walks out with his thermos. Mork's, and not his fishing pole. You notice that? Mork says, Mind, look on the bright side. It's always good to have friends you can drop in on. Mindy, not taking any more of this nonsensical dealings.
Oh, shit.
Hell yeah.
He didn't.
She steps over to him and says, Mork, listen to me. Mork cowers and says, don't hit me. Don't hit me. Mindy scorns, what you did was not funny. We can't even go into our apartment because of that. She then points to the hole and goes on, and I don't even want to think what might have happened to Mr. Buckley, much less how much it's going to cost to fix it. What? Oh, did I say Buckley?
You change his name every time you say it.
That's not even me trying Binkley. To be funny either.
Last time it was Binkley. This time it's Buckley. You still haven't said it right yet.
And I don't even want to think what might have happened to Mr. Binkley. Bickley? God. And I don't even want to think what might have happened to Frank, much less how much this is going to cost to fix. It was a stupid and dangerous prank. You should have been more careful. Mork hangs his head in shame and says, I was careful. I set the handbrake. Mindy asks, you set the handbrake? Mork says, yeah. Mindy, not believing this, repeats, you set the handbrake? My Jeep falls through the floor and you say you set the handbrake. Mork says, yeah. Mindy, now pissed, says, I can't take any more of this, Mork. I'm getting out of here. As she heads towards the door, Mork follows her and asks, great, Mind, where are we going? Mindy says, we're not going anywhere. You're staying here and cleaning up this mess and getting that Jeep out. I'm going to Glenda Faye's. What a great name. Mindy then leaves and slams the door shut. Mork tries to stop her, but to no avail.
I'm not sure he can clean that all up himself. I feel like that's kind of problem that you like call people for.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who, but like I feel like that's 911 maybe. I don't know. Who do you call for that?
I don't know. But I mean, I'm kind of assuming that Mork has some kind of magical powers, right? Like he got the Jeep up there in seemingly no time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like that would have taken two normal people like at least a couple of days. But he seemed to do it in a few hours, so do you get the Joe DiMaggio reference?
I just thought, is that the reason why we call coffee Joe?
The reason we called coffee Joe is because there was a brand of coffee and the founder of the company's name was Joe. But I had nothing to Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio was one of the first athletes to have a sponsorship and he sponsored Mr. Coffee. So,
That's cool.
I'm assuming Glenda is somehow from the opening scene, like somebody from the opening scene, like,
what do you mean?
Cause they say, well, in the opening scene, they never say anybody's name. She's like, I'm going to Glenda's. So I'm like, who the fuck is Glenda? Like they're just going to pop out names like that and not tell us who it is.
Oh, she's, I mean, spoiler alert, girls.
You find out that it is, but it would have been nice to know that.
I'm guessing the Glenda is probably a regular character. I'm guessing. So,
right. I was ready to see the Good Witch of the North, but whatever. So all of Frank's windows are stained glass. Like, why would he need his maid to clean them? Like, it's a fucking stained glass window.
I'm sure there are other windows in the apartment.
Okay.
Scene 9. Over at Glenda Faye's, Mindy is helping Glenda unpack and says, oh, Glenda, I just keep thinking about it. I mean, a Jeep falling through my floor. How many years can a normal person put up with that kind of stuff? Glenda quickly answers, 4. Mindy says, no, that's just how many seasons we'll be on. That's telling. Interesting. Mindy goes on, I mean, when I first met Mork, I knew he was different, but Glenda jumps in and says, you know, I noticed that too, but I never really said anything. Glenda then proudly boasts, you see, I was brought up to laugh behind people's backs. You know, like, oh, Jesus. You know, like when they're on the swim team and have to wear those little Speedos that show the outline of their Speedo torpedo.
Really?
Go RHS.
That one didn't even make sense. Like, why'd you put it there? Like,
Mindy says, all I know is this kind of stuff keeps up. Mork's just going to have to find another roommate. Glenda says, oh my, this is serious, isn't it? Well, listen, Mindy, you're welcome to stay here until you work things out. Besides, we'll have a ball. This is a singles apartment. Mindy says, thanks. As if on cue, there's a knock at the door. Glenda gets up to answer the door, but before she can get to it, a man walks in dressed head to toe as if he's going to play tennis. Glenda says, "Hi, Derek." Derek is just smoldering, says, "Far out." But just then, Coach Lubbock walks in.
Oh, nice.
Dressed in a tracksuit, complete with several gold chains around his neck. He spins around and says, "Farther out." Glenda just laughs and says, "Oh, hey, guys. Glad you came by. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine." Glenda turns to Mindy and says, "Mindy, these are my neighbors. Derek?" Mindy shakes his hand and says, "Hi, Derek." Derek just finger blasts Mindy and continues to smolder. Glenda just laughs and says, "And this is..." Before she can go on, Coach Lubbock says, "Todd Newman Taylor, but you can call me TNT. Kind of a dynamite guy, you know." Second only to the Speedo Torpedo. Now that was a specimen. He goes on, "No homo, but I would have been his swimming pool."
That's disgusting, Tank.
Wow. Mindy says, "Hi." Coach Dynamite turns to Derek and says, "Great personality." Derek just looks away and smolders on. TNT now walks over to Mindy and pretends to put his hand on a fake wall behind her and gets real close to her and says, "Say, look, I'm new in town." I'm gonna push him. "I'm kind of new in town." Mindy, very confused, just looks at him. Lubbock takes her hand and says, "How do I get to your place?" He then lifts up her hand and kisses his own wrist. Mindy, now trying to pull her hand away, says, "Glenda, is there something I can help you with in the kitchen?" Glenda says, "Oh, no. Now you just sit. I'll get us all something to drink. Just yell if you need anything else."
So are her and Mork humping or no?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I think eventually they get together, but I don't know at what point they're at now.
Okay. So. I swear I thought that was Jim Carrey for a second.
Coach Lubbock?
No, the other guy. And it was so hard for me to take that character seriously, looking that much like Jim Carrey. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, I don't know the guy's name, but Coach Lubbock, I think he fucking steals the whole show. He's so fucking funny in this.
Scene 10. As Glenda leaves the kitchen, Mindy takes a seat on the couch. Mr. Explosive says, "Shit. Well, I think I have everything I need right here." He then hops over the back of the couch and lands next to Mindy on the couch. He reaches into his pocket and pulls out some snacks. He asks, "Cheese puffs?" Mindy says, "No, I just ate." The coach then puts them back in his pocket and says, "Oh." He then shakes his chest to rattle around his many gold chains around his neck and says, "I have heavier chains for when it snows. I bought them on my slush fund." I don't know what that means. He then erupts with laughter at his own joke. Meanwhile, cool Derek is posed in a chair nearby, rolling his eyes and continues to smolder. Lubbock plays with Mindy's hair and says, "But serious time now. Have you ever really listened to Manilow?" Mindy takes her hand and smacks his hand away from her hair and makes him hit himself in the face. Finally, Glenda walks out from the kitchen with a tray of drinks. She announces happy hour strawberry margaritas. As she dances them to the guests, Mr. TNT exclaims, "Whoa, cowabunga." What? Mindy reaches over and takes a glass. Little Mr. T suggests to Mindy, "So why don't we share a margarita? You go right and I'll go left and we'll have a salt lick race around the rim." Mindy rolls her eyes and turns away from him. He chuckles and says, "She loves me." Glenda asks, "Is this fun or what?" Todd shakes his gold chains again and as he says, "You're a crazy lady. You know that?" He turns back to Mindy and asks, "Isn't she a crazy lady?" Mindy says, "Yeah, She's crazy. Coach C then begins to scoot in as he says, "Say, look, would you like to take a nice warm dip in my jacuzzi?" Glenda laughs and says, "Fabulous." TNT goes on to say, "Sure, we can fill it up with club soda and Bob for lemon slices." He then chuckles at the idea. Glenda gets up as Derek stands up and says, "I'm going to go change. Meet you downstairs in 20 minutes. As Derek and the father of eight girls leaves, he stops and says, "Better make it 25. I want to have time to scotch guard my chains." Glenda awkwardly giggles. TNT says, "Brenda, Cindy." And he then finger bangs the both of them. He then adds, "See you later, Lady Gators." He does the Saturday Night Fever dance and exits the apartment. Glenda then shuts the door and asks, "Wasn't that fun? Weren't they terrific?" Mindy asks, "Are you serious?" Glenda, "They didn't even know our names." Glenda says, "But they were close." As Mindy takes a seat, Glenda walks over and asks, "Besides, what's in a name? As long as you're happy." Mindy says, "Oh, come on. You don't really believe that." Glenda puts on a smile and says, "Sure. Oh, look, you're going to love it here. We'll be so busy, we won't even have time to think about what's bothering us." Mindy takes a look at Glenda and realizes that there might be more to Glenda than she had thought. Glenda quickly retracts and says, you. What's bothering you?" Mindy says, "Glenda, come on. What's really going on?" Glenda sighs and says, "Oh, I don't really want to talk about it." Mindy asks, "Are you sure?" Glenda gets serious and hits us with, "Oh, Mindy, I'm not sure about anything since my husband died." Glenda looks around and says, "Well, that's why I moved in here. I just want to laugh. Say hi. No involvements and nothing personal." Mindy, in a low tone, says, "Well, I can understand." Mindy, in a low tone, says, "Well, I can understand that." Glenda smiles and says, "Thanks, Mindy. It's just that every once in a while, I miss having somebody who really cares about me. You are so lucky to have Mork." Mindy says, "I am." Glenda chuckles and says, "Give him another chance. A hole in your floor is a lot better than a hole in your ceiling." No, I mean, a hole in your ceiling is a lot better than, well, either way, it's a lot better than a hole in your life. So go home and make sure Mork fills up your hole. All your holes, Mindy. Every single hole. Mindy says, "Yeah. You know, I never really realized how good I had it until I saw what was really out there. I guess things aren't so bad at home."
So,
I don't remember that part, you. But okay.
I don't know about you, but when you're watching the scene and then she goes, talks about her husband dying, I was just like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, because we don't know the story. We don't know what's going on.
No, we don't know.
And they were like, I was not expecting that. Holy shit, what the hell just happened? And so, but like the whole like monologue there where she talks about, you know, she just wants to laugh. She just wants like nothing serious. She just wants, you know, like I could so relate. And it's like, you know, it's like what'd she say? I miss having somebody who really cares about, you know, all that just hit home for me, like really got personal. And I was just like, oh, shit.
I was like, yeah, it's always effective when sitcoms turn serious like that. Because it's highlighted by all the ridiculousness, you know? Yeah. That was a pretty unexpected turn for such a superficial type of character. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, they paint her as just, you know, this kind of rich, snobby girl that, you know, probably didn't care about anybody else. I wonder if she's in the show anymore after this. If she's like a regular character or is this like her only thing?
No idea. Scene at all. Back in the apartment, Mork stands downstairs in Mr. Bickley's apartment with Bebo, who sits on the hood of the Jeep. Mork says, "You know, Bebo, a lot of people consider this a very depressing situation." Bebo says, "Me-ne-ne-ne-ne-ne-ne-ne." Mork says, "You don't have to be one of them. I wish that hole in the ceiling was the only thing I had to patch up. I really miss Mind." As if on cue, Mindy comes walking through the front door. you know, into Mr. Bickley's apartment, which is weird.
No.
But she says, Mork. Mork says to himself, sometimes I can almost hear her voice now. Mindy says, Mork, can I talk to you for a minute? Mork looks over and exclaims, Mind, you're here. Bebo says, Mind, and runs over to her. Mork chases after him and says, no, Bebo, wait. No. Oh, Bebo. That's not what... And then Bob Dole is like, hey, rah, rah, rah. You know. Bebo then runs out as Mork shuts the door behind him. Mork says, I'm sorry, Mind. I'm sorry to add polyester to injury. Mindy says, Mork, I think there are a few things we should straighten out. Mork says, before you say another word, I've already started my self-improvement plan and I've made a list of my bad points. Mork then pulls out a list that's similar to the length of a receipt, you know, like you'd get from CVS for just like buying shampoo or whatever.
That's probably what they used.
Mork goes on. Well, there would have been more, except the tears made the ink run. Mork then looks through the list and says, first of all, I belch with my finger. Second, I snore with my toes. I chew my toenails. I sit on my face. Mindy, not feeling bad, says, Mork, nobody's perfect. Mork says, Oh, yes, Mind. Oh. And then Bob Dole is like, no. Mind, you are. You're wholesome. In the dictionary, it says perfect. See Mindy. Mindy says, oh, no, I'm not. For one thing, I don't have any patience. I should have known you didn't mean any harm. I mean, you were only trying to make me laugh. Mork says, yeah, I thought it was just a joke. But Mind, sometimes I'm a really trying guy. Mindy says, well, that's very true. But you also have a lot of good points. Mork says, oh, I know that too. I made a list of those. Mork then pulls out a tiny little post-it note and says, here it is. Mindy takes it from him and says, oh, Mindy McConnell is my friend. That's all that's on here. Mork says, well, that's all I can think of when I was sitting here alone. Mm-hmm. Mindy says, oh, Mork, you know you're crazy, weird, aggravating. Mork interrupts and says, well, I can't help it. I'm a Libra. Mindy goes on, impulsive, exasperating, and frustrating. But you know, you're also very caring, and that's what makes it all worth it. Mork lights up and asks, oh, you still like me? Mindy says, well, I guess it's an inside joke of some kind.
I thought she had some kind of seizure or something. But
Mork smiles and says, back on Ark, we have a very special custom of making up. Mindy asks, what's that? Mork says, first of all, we grab each other's hands. Mork takes Mindy's hands and goes on. We look very deeply into each other's eyes. Now very close and face to face, Mindy asks, yeah? Mork says, that's it. Mindy asks, that's it? Really? Well, on Earth, we usually do all that too. And then we kiss. Mork, now embarrassed, chuckles at the idea, but asks, are you sure you want to? Mindy says, well, I don't know. Okay. They both then kiss. As they do, Mork's leg lifts and raises the Jeep behind him.
Hmm. Is this the first time, like, that they kiss
at all? I don't know. I have no idea. These are fantastic questions I wish we knew answers to.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess we can look them up like right now before.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Listeners are like, no, God damn it, no. Everybody knows they kiss each other.
Huh. Is that one of those things from Star Trek? That little fuzzy thing?
What are those called? Cornesks?
Tribbleites? No. Tribbles? Tribbles?
Tribbles. Tribbles. Yeah, tribbles. I don't think it's what it is, but that looks more like... Tribbles are more like fluffy balls, where this is more like a Russian hat.
Yeah, that's true. Ron's like, what are you guys talking... Well, no, who am I kidding? Ron, don't listen to this. So I guess they are humping.
Or going to be, I don't know.
Well, they are now, yeah. Anyways, scene 12. Later that night, Mork sits in the living room and calls out for his people. Mork says, Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. His eyes close as he makes the connection in his mind. We now see Morg in his red jumpsuit. He says, "Come in, Orson. Come in. You're Oliver Hardiness."
Hmm.
Okay. "I hope I didn't call you too early," he says with a voice impression of some kind. Orson now speaks up. "Oh, by the way, Morg, I wanted to thank you for the box of cigars you sent me." Morg says, "Oh, no sweat, Chief Smoke. I mean, I hope you got a bang out of him." He then giggles to himself. Morg goes on. "You see, sir, that's what's called a practical joke here on Earth." Orson says, "Nonsense. No jokes are practical." Morg says, "Oh, sir, come on now. They serve a purpose. I mean, jokes can fill your life with surprises." Orson says, "Life isn't supposed to be surprising. It's supposed to be ordered and predictable, Morg." Morg argues, "Oh, but where's the fun in that, your old foginess? If life were that predictable, no one would bother watching the Miss America pageant. Everyone would know who's hosting the Tonight Show, and no one would believe an actor could be president. Imagine giving a State of the Union address, my fellow line." Orson asks, "That's unpredictable?" Morg says, "No, sir, that's incredible. And so is that warm feeling you get when you tell a friend a joke. But the most important thing, sir, is to have a friend that you want to tell a joke to. Aww. If not, the joke's on you. Until next week, sir. Nanu. Nanu."
Aww. So it's one of those little monologue thingies like at the end of every episode?
Yeah.
Oh, you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Well, how come you can't answer the other questions then, Jimmy? Mm-hmm. So you've only seen like, the end of every episode, but you have
no idea. Yeah, it's kind of like the final thought on Jerry Springer. It's kind of like that.
How dare you, sir, compare the two?
Well, they're both ridiculous and don't make much sense, so. Yeah, this is literally the only part I remember from the show. Because as soon as I saw the jumpsuit, I'm like, I remember that jumpsuit. How was he sending stuff back home?
I don't know. Some sort of courier service of some kind. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a machine. I don't know.
Also, does this mean that Mort can read people's minds?
No idea.
Maybe it's just other people from his planet. So if Orc is predictable, like, no wonder they sent Morg away.
Did they send him away? I mean, well, I'm assuming so,
because look at the way he acts, and the guy he's talking to is making it sound like everything's orderly and predictable, and everybody says the same thing and does the same thing every day, and then you have Morg. Like, come on, you wouldn't send him away?
Gotcha. Huh.
That doesn't make much sense to me. Like, how would he have come from that planet?
Well, I think maybe he's just learning and becoming a little earthized, if you will.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode. That was a good one.
All right, Jimmy, we'll have an email to read. Actually,
oh, man. It's
a series of emails.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I mean, we can change. Just don't break up with us without giving us a second chance.
The string of emails comes to us from Julia... And she's
Julia who? I'm sorry, your mic cut off.
Sorry, Julia. And she says,
"I'm sorry, your mic cut out." What?
Sorry, Cox, Julia Cox.
Can you say it one more time, louder?
Cox.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, the first email she sends to us, she is giving us for the Laverne and Shirley episode. Her bid for the safe word of the week.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Checkbook in the hamper. That's her safe word for that episode.
That's awesome.
The next email from Julia, she is responding to, remember last week, Gordon's email about he was the one that gave the bad review at first, but then he's decided that he likes this. Okay. So she's responding to his email.
Okay.
And she says, as a true fan, I agree 100% with Gordon. restart the Brady Bunch. Everyone loves those episodes. I'm so not looking forward to watching Alf. I'm sorry, but he looks like an old penis. Love you guys, Julia Cox.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to go look in the mirror right now.
I think she's referring to Alf.
That's what I mean. Like, I want to see if it, that's what it looks like.
All right. And the last email from Julia, this, you'll find this amusing, Jimmy. Her subject is strange, but true. She says, I thought you guys would appreciate this. My ex-husband, David Cox, married Carrie Peters, making her Carrie Peters Cox.
That's awesome.
If my daughter, Maria Cox, marries her boyfriend, Miles Beaver, she will be Maria Cox Beaver.
That's
if Miles changes his name to his mother's maiden name, he would be Miles Seaman. And my daughter will be Maria Cox Seaman. And then she ends it with, you can't make this shit up. Julia Cox.
I still think it would be funny if her and Lauren became friends. Yeah, it would be.
Sax and Cox.
Sax and Cox, yeah.
They need to go into business together.
Like, no, that's a funny safe word. I think this week's safe word should be. Or it should be.
Bob Dole. Yeah. And then Bob Dole says, I'm on the internet. I don't know.
That's funny.
All right, Julie. Well, always good to hear from you. Very funny little anecdotes.
So she's an advocate of us restarting
the Brady Bunch. I don't know if that's a good idea. I just don't. I don't know. It'll just be the same episode, I feel.
Well, maybe so. I don't know. We have a lot more inside jokes and stuff now.
True, but I mean, I don't know. All right, Julie, well, you know what we did here. We had a good time tonight. And we remember, we do love these shows. All about the good times and laughs.
And we'd like to personally thank our producers on Patreon, because without you guys, this wouldn't be possible. And of course, we're always looking at Jenny and Jim. As, you know, Jenny and Jim are the first ones that became Patreons, and we will always give them a shout out, always appreciate it. And if you remember back when they became, when we found out we had Patreon subscribers, we were just like tickled to death that it actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But this week might rival that feeling, Doc.
Oh, really?
Imagine, because early on, not so much now, but early on, we had some emails come in that were constructive in nature, right?
Yes.
We had a couple come on that, you know, kind of put us in our place a little bit. And they were just like, guys, you're treading on territory you shouldn't be treading on. Yeah, those kind of emails.
Yeah.
Imagine if one of those people got turned around to the point where they became a producer, Tech.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, well, it's happened.
It has.
Gordon is our newest producer.
Oh, nice.
That's
Welcome, Gordon. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
That's a special feeling on that one. I mean, don't get me wrong. We always appreciate all our producers, but that one is particularly special. So
it is.
Yes. Nice. We very much appreciate it.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Gordon. And thanks to all the producers. But it is homework assignment time.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon does not have to do it.
Nope.
But all the rest of you, check out the website at verybradypodcast.com.
Do a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, CastBox, or Audible.
Tell two friends about the show. And if you don't have two friends, go find a couple aliens and tell them.
There you go.
Just like last week, you may have to explain what a podcast is first. Mm-hmm. And then just show them how to do it. They'll figure it out. They're smarter than you.
Send an email to the show, just like Julia Cox did.
Julia, and tell us how
Cox.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Tell us how you like or dislike the show at averybradypodcast@gmail.com.
Join the Facebook group and join in the conversation, all the fun, at A Very Brady Facebook group.
If you would like to be a producer, check out the Patreon at www.patreon.com/averybradypodcast. And get access to the After Hours show.
Mm-hmm.
It's unscripted, intimate, relaxed, and commercial-free.
That sounds amazing, Jimmy.
That's important, commercial free.
Yep. And you can also check out our Instagram at A Very Brady Podcast.
Follow us on Facebook, get real-time updates, like, you know, I don't know how we're feeling that day or something funny that we saw that we want to post or whatever, whatevs.
That's right. Also, go check out the Retro Network at theretronetwork.com.
Also, there's going to be some changes coming up to the Retro Network. Because every week we're like, you know, if you like the retro aspect of the show, you might like the Retro Network. But let's say you're into nerdy stuff, right? You're into geeky stuff. Right?
Like what, Jimmy?
Yeah, you know how these people are, these real geeky people that want to collect, like, you know, old school toys and stuff, you know, like Star Wars figures and stuff like that.
Stupid.
Yeah. But if you're into that kind of stuff, the Retro Network's going to be expanding what it's doing because they've had some people wanting to do podcasts about different subjects that don't really have anything to do with nostalgic television. It's more of the, you have to kind of be a geek about it, kind of a nerd about it. So they're going to kind of expand into stuff like that as well. They're going to keep everything retro, but they're going to expand into stuff like that. So in the upcoming months, keep checking out the Retro Network. They might have stuff you like.
Indeed.
At theretronetwork.com. Also, check out our shop with our affiliate link at www.averybradypodcast.com/shop.
That's right. Check out our TeePublic store for more merch. Link is in the description of this and every episode. But most importantly, go check out Classic Iconic TV. And Jimmy here is going to tell you what to watch next. Jimmy.
Okay. After entering all of our data into the randomizer 3000, you know what, Tech?
It's going to work.
I don't think we need the randomizer this week.
No? Good, because it's been on the fritz lately.
I've been inspired.
Okay.
I've been inspired by Gordon.
Oh.
And I've been inspired by Julia.
Oh.
Because what did Julia bring up in her email?
That her family has really weird and perverted names.
Before that.
Oh, sorry. That her sex safe word is something about a hamster, I want to say.
After that.
Oh, sorry. She mentioned something about doing the Brady Bunch again.
Exactly. So I think we need to give them what they asked for, Tech. So we're going to say to hell with the randomizer this week.
Good, because it's been on the fritz lately anyway.
It has. So we're not using the randomizer this week. So on the next episode, we will be doing... Really?
Oh my God.
Seriously? Maybe Mork is controlling it or Alf or something. Anyway, it just wants to feel loved. On the next episode, we look at the Brady Bunch, season one, episode 4, entitled Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Aww.
On that episode, Alice doesn't think the boys need her as much anymore. Now with Carol is in the house, like Carol can make up for Alice.
Hilarious.
So she announces that she's leaving. And the Brady Bunch is available to stream on Paramount Plus.
Nice.
I think it's also available on Pluto TV as well, I think. So,
well, I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll
that should be interesting.
I love going back to the Brady Bunch. It's so much fun. We get to see the old gang again. And
this will be an old. This will be back when they all look like kids. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. So, that'll be fun.
I'm excited.
That'll be fun. So
and also... Okay, and not to demean like the old episode that we had for this episode, which is still going to be there. And the guest I had on was actually one of my favorite guests that I've ever had, which was Clay Groves from Fish Nerds Podcast.
That's cool.
If you're into fishing at all, you should check out his podcast because it's actually interesting. I'm not into fishing at all. I have zero interest in fishing, but his show is actually really funny.
I bet Frankie watches it.
I bet he does too. And I've actually been on his show before, and he does occasionally have another guest that I had on here, which is a scientist chick, Doc Martin. She's on that show a lot because she's like a fish expert. Like she has like a PhD, no pun intended, in like fish. So,
that's cool.
She's on the show a lot too. Anyway, she was also a guest as well. But anyway, so go check out that episode with Clay Groves. He's super funny, very entertaining, and so this is not demeaning of that episode at all. It's still going to be there. This is just our version of the episode now.
So. Right on. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So unless there's anything else,
No, that's it.
Well, in that case, I have been Jimmy.
And I've been Tack.
And this has been a Very Brady Podcast.
And we will see you on another sunshine day.
Keep smoking.
This has been a presentation of the Retro Network.